We're going to do a kind of a joint sermon today, so we're going to invite Erica and Lee to come on up. I'm going to steal this. When Christine was baptized on that particular Sunday, I walked around with her in my arms, and that was the sermon. I got to preach with my first child in my arms.
And now I'll take this child up.
The circle of life. Circle of life. So we are in a new series as of last week, and we'll be doing this all the way through the middle of November. We're talking about what it means to be a church full of yes, and how do we say yes to God, and how do we say yes to serving others? How do we help people to say yes on their faith journeys? We're collecting testimonies during this season, and we're going to post some of those online, and you'll see some of them in church. But today we want to focus on what does it mean to say yes to children and youth particularly. And I love the text that we started with today. It's one of those places in Scripture where you see this generational passing on of faith. It's that Paul is talking to Timothy, a young leader in the church, and he's talking about the sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. And really, churches have relied on that kind of passing on of faith since the very beginning, haven't we? Faith communities rely on parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and an extended family passing on these stories, passing on these rituals, passing on these values, and that's what we try to do in the life of this church. So I want to talk to Erica, who's our children's ministry director, and Lee, who has been working with our youth and adult education for so many years and doing such an effective job in both of them. I'll talk to you about how do we say yes to children and youth in this church? What are just some of the ways that we do that?
We have a few big programs that I think most of you know of: Sunday school, Vacation Bible school. We have an Advent event and an Easter egg hunt and support the Chili Cook-Off, which is this weekend. But we also do it through relationships with parents and Sunday school teachers and helping them feel prepared and ready to teach. Through missions, the family mission trip, and connecting them to backpack buddies and other programs as they arise, mission opportunities to make sure they each have a hand in mission.
And for the youth from sixth grade up, we do have Sunday school at 9:30. We have a preparatory program for sixth graders because they need it. Because walking into youth group where there's about 70 kids is a little overwhelming. So we have Super Six, and then my baby is the UMYF every Sunday night. We have, through that, they serve. Their biggest one is Appalachia Service Project, but we have other service ministries. And of course, we have confirmation class, which runs from January to Pentecost, where we prepare them to be full members of the church.
And it's an amazing thing to see all of the youth who are present here and children who are just in our hallways and in our classrooms and get to see them all the time. Erica, we're doing something new with the children this Sunday school curriculum year. You've launched into a new curriculum. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how it spills over beyond Sunday mornings?
So we use a curriculum called GROW, which encourages more than just Sunday school. It's really trying to help children become disciples of Christ, which is our goal. And so to take what they learn in Sunday school and take it home. And so most curriculums, including this one, has a take-home page that is posted online each week. But it also comes with other discipleship strategies. And we have one, it's these conversation cards where you can go home and have faith conversations with your kids or your grandkids. I know a lot of grandparents bring their kids. Their faith is not just something that they have for 1 hour on Sunday morning. It's something that is part of their daily life. And these questions are great. What are you thankful for today? Or even, and some of them are challenging, like you would be great talking amongst yourselves about it. What are a few things that make God sad? And so having faith conversations every day to really bring their faith home.
Yeah, and that's so important because we want to teach our kids that faith is not a Sunday-only thing. And we want to teach our parents and our grandparents that faith formation is not just about our Sunday school teachers or about Lee and about Erica. It's about all of us playing a role, an important role in that, the most important role, really. So we are saying yes in a lot of those ways. Now, what are some of the ways and who are some of the people that help you in particular? I know, you know, we know that Lee is great. We know that Erica is great. And we can sometimes fall in a trap because they're so good of thinking they're going to take care of the spiritual formation of our kids. But you know better, right? You know that it takes a team. So who are some of those people that help you?
We have about 20 people on a Sunday who teach Sunday school and help it run from our babies all the way through high school Sunday school. I see some, and some of you are here. You know, they attended 9:30 and were teaching Sunday school, and now they are back in worship at 11, or vice versa. And so we have a team of 20 Sundays each week. And then for Vacation Bible School, each week of that is 75 volunteers it takes to have Vacation Bible School. We also have people who help in our Safe Sanctuary office. That's one of the most important things that this church does before anyone works with any child or youth is they have to complete a background check and have references, and we're grateful for that team. And then there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that happen, bulletin boards, stocking classrooms, Nancy in the back writing calligraphy. They're, each third grader, their name was written in their Bible. Nancy spends hours here one day writing 27 names and dates in the church, and we're grateful for each person that helps with that to make the ministry happen. It takes a huge team of volunteers, and of course all of you who cut out things, donate money, especially at Bible school time when that big board goes up with all that stuff on it. We couldn't do it without each person's help.
True, and in addition then we have for our evening program, which is probably our biggest single program for youth.
I'm going to go back to that slide because it's such a good picture of all the mature adults in the room when you're gathering with the youth.
Yeah, they were introducing themselves, and Tommy's on air guitar. So why not? But I have a team of about 15 people who are just the best people I know. They range in age from early college up to, well, me now that Ray's retired. And so there's somebody in all those levels, all those age levels that kids can relate to. There's somebody they can each relate to. And they're just the most faithful and fun people who will listen to these kids and let them tell their stories and accept them the way they are and not judge them at all. And they're just a great team. Same with when we go on the Appalachia Service Project, those adults who really... I don't know that sleeping, you know, in a gym on a chair is the most fun they ever have, but their skill at teaching these kids how to repair homes and the way they talk to them and relate to those Appalachian families just can't be beat. So we're just really blessed with a lot of great young adult and adult help in this church.
So Lee, I'm going to ask you to hold on to the microphone because you have been at this for a long time in this church. And over 40 years that you've been doing ministry with our youth and with our adults. So over that course of time, things have changed in the world. Things have changed a lot for our youth and their world. But what hasn't changed for you? And what are the constants in your ministry? And what are the ways you've had to adapt?
Well, I will tell you right off the bat that the constant in my ministry is the Holy Spirit. And I will lay that out there anytime for the guidance and the direction that God, with which God has blessed me and all the leaders is, you know, it's just beyond.
My favorite picture, Lee's least favorite picture.
Oh, I hate that picture.
But it's so true. It's actually true.
Well, anyway, so our faith is our constant. And then there isn't a lot that has changed, honestly, because of the way we do youth ministry. We're not the big event type that a lot of the churches in this area are. In fact, I've had to cancel trips because I didn't get enough kids to sign up for King's Dominion. Now, you know. But I'll have 70 on a Sunday night to talk about really important topics. And I think we're seeing a shift in what the kids want to talk about. For example, I just gave them an interest survey so we know how to kind of plan. Top three things, same for middle high and senior high. Number one, stress and anxiety. Number two, I need sleep. And number three, the world is very scary right now. So we plan to address those kinds of issues with them, help them feel grounded, help them feel safe. I'm trying to think what has changed. You know, technology is leaving me behind, but I have people.
Lee has her peeps, that's for
sure. I do. So I can get a YouTube picked out, but somebody else puts it up on the screen. And I'm sorry, but sports is killing me on Sunday night. It used to be sports bothered us Sunday morning, and then we kind of got that changed. So a lot of games didn't start till noon, and okay, they can go to church. But now there's so much going on still and on Sunday night, and I've lost countless kids because of practices or tournaments. They don't get home till late and all that. I, you know, you can pray for that because I just am beside myself as to how to break that in this community.
It's raining.
It's raining. God is getting God's revenge today. And this is for you, Lee. The rain is for you. And one of the things that's remarkable to me is the way that you have extended youth ministry beyond high school years. And so our youth ministry extends up through our college kids, and you stay actively involved and engaged in their lives too. And it shows. And because then they turn around and go to volunteers' mission teams, and they are actively part of this church community as well. So what can this congregation do? Some of these people out here still have youth and children in our ministries, and a lot of them don't. Some of you have graduated your kids out of our programs, right? And some of you maybe are on the front edge and you don't have kids yet. Or maybe you're single and you don't have kids. And so what can anybody in this congregation do to support the life of children and the spiritual formation of youth?
Well, I start by saying certainly you can pray for our kids. As you heard, the concerns they have are pretty intense. Stress and anxiety, I mean, really. This community doesn't help out with that too much.
It's a high expectation community, that's for sure.
And I tell you, our kids love this church. They know that you support them. I never hear anything about, you know, the adults in this church. Wah, wah. They know that you're behind them all the way. There is one little thing, and I hesitate to bring it up, but it worked at 8 o'clock.
So I'll bring it up again. Yeah,
we take them on certain trips, and these trips are getting more and more expensive. And I will just not raise the level that I charge families because it's just getting ridiculous. So,
some of those families are sending one, two, and three, and four kids.
Sometimes four kids. And so it's kind of an attack on their budget. But I remember I shared how one time Lori Schaefer said to me, you know, Rob got so much out of retreats. Here's a check. I want to sponsor a kid so they can go on retreat and their family doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah. If you ever feel like you want to support a kid or a program, we'll gladly accept that on behalf of the kids and the families.
Yeah, so right, there is always financial giving. Curriculum costs thousands of dollars, as it turns out, and Bibles cost money and supplies. But one of the things that is most important to me is people, that these kids have a wide net of people who care for them and love them, that when they see you in the hallway, that they know that you are someone they could go to if they had a question about faith. That if they see you in the community, that you are living your faith in the community. On our family mission trip, it was wonderful to see the kids bonding with other parents, not just their own parent, to live out their faith and to see that and how that relationship changed them. And that happens through Sunday school, and it happens through Bible school, that those people, you could be one of those people that is helping and support them. And on a personal level, as someone who doesn't have family in the area, you all are my family here when I need help.
The 8 o'clock service today.
Like this morning, I knew that I would be leading this up here and that my children attend 8 o'clock worship and that they would be alone in the pew.
Scary thought.
The wrestling would happen eventually. So Pam Hall walked in, and I said, Pam, can you please sit with them? And she said, of course, of course. And how you all support me so much. And in this community where so many people live so far from their extended family, how important you all have been. And I just think that is really important. And I've seen how you've embraced other families and how, you know, we have a church grandma. We have, she's here, I think, somewhere over there. And how important that is that we have church grandmas and we have Lilies.
Do we have to put that on the charge conference report that we have a church grandma?
That's right. We have a church grandma. Everybody take note. how important that really is, that wide net that you all provide for our kids and our families.
So let me ask you one last question. Can you tell us a story? And there are hundreds of stories, literally, of kids' lives and lives of youth that have been changed because of the ministry of this church, where you've seen God plant a seed or bring something to blossom.
A few years ago, Vacation Bible School Sunday just happened to land on the first Sunday of the month. It was a communion Sunday. And we knew that for a lot of these kids, this could be the first time that they have experienced communion, whether they watch it or partake in it. We have an open table, as you all know. And so we let the Spirit lead. And of course, it paid off. The Spirit always leads us in the right direction. We had a family who, they had not really been attending church. They were Catholic. Some of you come from a Catholic background. And their children had not yet received First Communion. But their children got up and took it anyway.
And we ruined their plans.
We like to break the rules. And they watched and were just mesmerized that the witness that God could work in their children's lives. And then when they got home, their children talked about how powerful it was to take communion and how much it meant to them. And so the next Sunday they came back, and the next Sunday. And they have become an important part of this community. And so it was awesome watching the Spirit work in their lives and how we got to help facilitate that moment.
I'm really sorry that Nick's not here. You all who are regulars at 11 see this young usher with fairly long hair.
He is kind of long hair.
He is his own
Maybe the
person.
Longest hair among all our male ushers.
Well, for sure. But Nick, when he was, he's 7th grade, never said a word, never did. He's a very quiet, private little guy. But now he is ushering with his grandfather. He got his parents involved to usher, too. So he went on ASP and he spoke this summer, you might remember. So he's just watching how he's grown. But my better story, maybe, my older story, is a gal who grew up here. Some of you remember the Hazard family, full of singers and that sort of thing. So Shannon was the oldest, and I think she was the president of MYF her year. But she is the lay leader for the entire Western North Carolina Conference. So that's a very huge position, married to a pastor. And she had to get up and tell her story one time when she was first elected or chosen. They said, "How'd you get here?" And she stood up in front of the whole Western North Carolina Conference and said, "I credit Severna Park United Methodist Church in Severna Park, Maryland, with making me the person I am today. Strong enough in my faith to be able to stand here and talk to you. They gave me a chance to be a leader. They gave me a chance to sing, to teach, to take Bible study," and just said, "I owe so much of my growing up and who I am to Severna Park United Methodist Church." I mean, you just can't beat that.
Here are our children last week. We gave out 27 Bibles to our third graders last week, and there they are holding them up proudly in Fellowship Hall. Just a great, great moment to see that. So we are saying yes in a lot of significant ways to children and to youth in this congregation. And I want to close with a personal moment. This is Charlie, whom we just baptized. And this is her coming out of one of her baths. So she just had a bath at home. And you remember those sacred moments, right? Those are sacred moments when we bathe our children. And we just put another kind of water on her head here. And it was... I always figured that I might get to baptize my grandchildren. I was hoping I'd make the final four list, at least, of the people who could do that. And I didn't know that I'd have the privilege of doing it in my church and in their church. I didn't know that Ross and Christine would land so close to us. And so a special blessing it is to invite them into this faith community and to call upon all of you now to not only love all of our kids, but to love my granddaughter, too, right? Not that she's got to get special treatment. I just want you to love all of them as fiercely as you're going to love Charlie, right? I want you to care for every single child that comes or comes across our congregation. I want you to plant seeds of love and kindness and justice and mercy and forgiveness. All the good things that I dream of for Charlie, I want that for all of our kids here. And you do such a great job of that. And so I was blessed when Christine was baptized at Reisterstown United Methodist Church, and then when Sarah was baptized at Reisterstown United Methodist Church, and then we traveled as a family some years later to Bethesda United Methodist Church, where I served for 16 years. I was blessed to see those congregations live into those baptismal covenants and love my kids in ways that I couldn't as a father pastor. They needed other adults who would form them in faith. And now to see this generationally passed on today, just like Paul was talking about to Timothy, you know, that faith that lived in your grandmother and your mother and now lives in you, and to see that lived out in my own family, what a gift that is for me and what a privilege it is to share it with them, but also with all of you and with this congregation. Elijah Cummings passed away about 10 days ago, and it was a sadness for certainly our country, but also the state of Maryland, as he was a large figure. And there have been lots of testimonies about his life. One of the ones I loved the most was his friend Mark Meadows, who's a staunch Republican from North Carolina, and Cummings could not get any more Democrat than he is, and from Baltimore, right? And so very different political philosophies, but they've become friends over the years. And Meadows called it an unlikely friendship. And as he was blessing his friend Elijah on to heaven and trusting him into the arms of God, he said, "I think our world needs more of these unlikely friendships." And that's the kind of church I dream of, welcoming Charlie into a place where we honor and love each other, even when we don't always agree with each other. But here's the other quote of Cummings that surfaced this week that is particularly appropriate for this Sunday. He said, "Our children are our living messengers to a future we will never see." That means our children are going to outlive us, and they're going to carry on the values and the stories and the rituals and the things that we give to them and pour into them. What a privilege and what a responsibility that is. What a gift it is to have a whole community to do that with. And so that's my prayer this day, not only for Charlie, but for every single child, that we pour all of the love and the grace of God into them, and so that they know it deeply for themselves. Thanks be to God for a whole church that says yes to children and youth.